The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Started. So welcome to Happy Hour. I love the name. Diana came up with it, who's standing out there. My co-teacher, we alternate every week. So, who is new to Happy Hour? Who's here for the first time? Great, welcome. Welcome. So everything you need to know, whether it's your first time or I don't know how many times we've done this, 100th time? I don't think it's been 100th, but anyways. Whatever you need to know will be shared with you during the guided meditation. And afterwards there will be an interactive exercise and time for a Q&A and sharing reflections. So what we usually do every week during this time is we share a guided meditation on a practice of the heart, either loving kindness or one of the related practices, compassion for oneself, for others, or maybe mudita, which is vicarious joy, happiness for happiness of others, or one's own happiness, which becomes gratitude. And the practice, the fourth practice, which is part of the Brahma Viharas, part of the four main practices, the fourth one is equanimity. And tonight I'd like to offer reflections and a guided meditation on equanimity. So first of all, what is equanimity and how is it related to these other three? Other, you know, when you think of equanimity, it seems kind of cool or aloof even. How does it relate to metta, which is loving kindness, which is love, which is warmth? How does it really relate? How can it be part of the same family? Okay, sit with that for a moment before I answer it. So, first of all, before we answer that question, let's consider what equanimity even means. What is the word equanimity? It's a pretty nice-sounding word, but what the heck does it mean in practice? So, equanimity, the word in Pali is upekkha. Upekkha is equipoise. It's a sense of being with things as they are, not falling into them, not getting too attached to them, and not pushing them away, pushing them away with not liking, not wanting. It's kind of a sense of equipoise. Some kind of standing. Another translation of another word for equanimity in Pali, Tatra Majja Tata, which is standing in the middle of all this. It's a sense of you're standing in the middle of whatever is happening with a sense of stability. Just kind of try that on for size and physically. Standing in the middle of whatever is happening with your hands open even. Yeah, just sense of stability in the middle of whatever is arising. Another way to relate to the word equanimity and the translation of the word upekkha is having a bird's eye view, having an overview of everything that's happening, because a lot of times we tend to get focused and our vision becomes very, very tight. And we don't see anything else. We start to suffer because, oh, it's so tight and it's so difficult. And what am I going to do? And what are they going to do? Instead, if you go up and have a bird's eye view of the whole situation, of your role in it, other people's role in it, all the causes and conditions that are really playing in this interweb, in this web of interconnection, there's a sense of ease that comes. There's a sense of equanimity, equipoise, that comes from having a bird's eye view of seeing a much bigger perspective, expanding your perspective instead of being tight and just looking at one part of it. So those are some ways to relate to the idea of equipoise, equanimity. And I'll offer these as I offer the guided meditation. And if there are questions, comments, there will be time for them afterwards. So with that, I invite you to get into your meditation posture, whether you're sitting in a chair or a cushion. This is a good time to actually get props. It's a really good time if you're new to this practice, if you're here for the first time, get props so that you sit comfortably. If you're sitting in a chair, please put the bottom of your feet on the floor, flat on the floor, or if your feet don't reach the floor, please go get a prop so that your feet can be flat on the floor. And whether you're sitting on the chair or on the floor, allowing your back to be straight, to have a sense of integrity. Feeling as if you're being pulled up by an invisible string. So you're sitting up straight without really trying. It's just happening on its own, with this invisible support for your spine. And then allowing the rest of your body, your muscles, to relax and soften. Softening your face. Allowing the muscles of your forehead to relax and be pulled down by gravity. Softening your cheeks. Relaxing. Your jaw, your tongue, your chin, letting your eyes rest in their socket, letting go of any extra tension. With every out-breath, sinking more deeply, softening and letting go some more. Relaxing and softening the shoulders and your neck, your arms, your hands. Relaxing your chest. Softening your belly. Relaxing your upper legs. Softening your lower legs. Your feet. Bringing awareness to your whole body if there is tension or tightness anywhere. With the next out-breath, softening, relaxing some more. Letting your muscles relax, even droop. while structurally you're sitting upright, your back straight, but the rest of you is completely relaxed. As relaxed as possible. This first step is important. The more relaxed your body is, and soft, and settled, the more relaxed, soft, and settled your mind can be. With each out-breath, softening, landing more deeply. With every in-breath, bringing in more attention, awareness, wakefulness. With every out-breath, more relaxation, more letting go, more ease. Let each breath, in-breath, out-breath, be like a lullaby calming and soothing your mind in this moment. Enjoying the in-breath and the out-breath. As the breath moves in and moves out. By calming and settling the mind and relaxing the body, we're tilling the soil in preparation for the equanimity practice, which we'll do in a few minutes. So simply breathing, sitting and breathing, knowing that you're sitting. Knowing you're breathing in, knowing you're breathing out. Breathing in, breathing out. Knowing each in-breath and each out-breath as it moves through. And this body relaxed and soft. As relaxed and soft as possible, and then some more with the next out-breath. See if you can relax and soften your body a bit more. Breathe out more tension. Even if you feel like you're completely relaxed, challenge yourself. Can I breathe out more tension and land more deeply into a relaxation? And let yourself be surprised. Now I invite you to bring to mind a situation that might be a little challenging for you. Maybe not the most challenging situation. It's something that's challenging you at this moment, in this time in your life. And first, just for sake of comparison, I invite you to relate to it from a contrasted, estranged, not a contrast, just to contrast the two situations. First, relate to it from a constrained, contained, strained perspective of being in it. See how your body feels when you feel tight, when you feel constrained in this situation. Ah, my body feels tight. My breath feels tight. Ah, let that go. Shake that out. Coming back to stability of the body. The ease of the breath. Now I invite you to relate to the situation, to the circumstance, from a bigger perspective, from a wider perspective. Maybe you're looking back from a perspective of a later time, years later in your life, looking back at this time, at this junction, at this difficulty, and looking at it from that perspective. Having a different perspective, a wider perspective. Oh yes, that situation is far away now. You might even smile, seeing how it changed, transitioned, resolved itself. Doesn't seem so big, or overpowering or challenging from the perspective of this later time. Is just another experience, another dot in a range of experiences, lots of dots in your lifetime, lots of experiences, lots of ups and downs. This experience doesn't own the whole show, doesn't dictate. It's just one of so many experiences. See if you can relate to it from this perspective with more space, with a lot more space between you and the experience. You can breathe from this perspective. You can breathe. Breathe internally. Breathe around. Breathe with. And maybe even breathe with this version of you that's in the present moment from that perspective. Like a good advisor, a wise counsel, counseling yourself. Oh, dear one, it's okay. This is just one of the events in your life. Have perspective, sense of stability, and see if your body can relax a little bit with this wider perspective. Another perspective I'd like you to experiment with, if you wish, is one that's more like a bird's eye view. Moving up a few thousand feet and looking at the situation, all the causes and conditions, all the different people, all the randomness. It's not just about what you do. It's not just your will, your control. It's part of such bigger matrix of humanity. So many actions that have come before, yours and others, both historically and also at the same time. So many things you don't have control over. It's such an interconnected web that makes everything happen. You play your part. You have responsibility just for your part. And the rest is so much more grand. See if you can look at it from that perspective. And see if this can bring some more ease. As if you are a spectator, in a way, to a movie of your life. A movie of this challenge, and seeing all the different players and the different parts. Not just your perspective. So many different perspectives to see the situation. Not being so attached to your point of view. See if your body can relax when you see it from this bigger, wider perspective of events arising and passing away, all these unfoldings. It may not feel so personal from this perspective. It can feel like an unfolding, a natural unfolding of so many interconnected events. In this way, maybe you can have more openness, acceptance, curiosity. spaciousness, about this unfolding. Breathing with, breathing in, breathing out. Feeling a sense of ease and openness and spaciousness in your body. Being a part of this interconnected web of arisings and passings. And you may recite silently to yourself one of the following phrases, if you wish. May I accept? The arising and passing of things just as they are. May I accept the coming and going? Of things. Or may I accept things just as they are? May I have peace? May I have spaciousness and stability with the unfolding of the events, unfolding of life, just as it is. Or simply, things are as they are. Things are just as they are. Or it is what it is. It is what it is. Or may I have ease and peace and grace with things just as they are unfolding. Keeping a sense of stability in your body, in your breathing, feeling grounded, embodied with your breath, your body. As you hold this bird's eye view, of the coming and going of things, accepting, allowing things just as they are, internally and externally. And internally, if it's difficult emotions, anxiety, anxiousness, sadness, whatever it is, making space for that too. Making space with equanimity, equipoise for everything that's present. Equanimity doesn't mean you'll be a stone statue with no feelings. It just means you have ease with whatever there is, even if it's lack of comfort. Being comfortable with not being comfortable. Making space. Allowing things just as they are. Being okay with anxiety or sadness. Giving it a lot of space. Or aversion. Even if you don't like something. Even if you don't like something. Not being constrained or tight by it, or defined by it. Having the equanimity, the spaciousness, to know, oh, not liking, aversion is like this. Can I be with this too? Without pushing it away, or wanting to fix it. In this way, the experience of life, this experience of being human, becomes much more interesting, much more free. There's a lot more freedom. You can have all of your experiences, difficult, negative, positive, and still have freedom and ease, equanimity. Equipoise in the midst of it all. That's why equanimity is the crown jewel of Buddhist practice. It's the path to ease and freedom of heart and mind. So, for the next part of our practice together, what I'd like to do is to invite you to an interactive exercise, which is, in a moment, we'll get into groups of three, and three or four, because we're not quite divisible by three. And it's best if you're either sitting in a chair or all sitting on the floor to be on the same eye level. And this is part of the interactive exercise. So we've been practicing today with equanimity, so which is equipoise. Holding a space of stability, neither falling into nor aversive, but just holding with space. So in this interactive exercise, we're going to hold or practice cultivating, holding a space of equanimity and equipoise as the other person speaks. Neither jumping in, thinking about the next thing we're going to say, neither saying, oh, I don't want to hear this. Just kind of just making space, holding space. Just holding space with equanimity, okay? And now I want to answer the question that I posed earlier, which is, what's the relationship between equanimity and loving kindness? Because it's in the same family. So equanimity is both the foundation of kindness and compassion. Because if you don't have a sense of stability when you practice loving kindness or compassion or vicarious joy, then you either fall into it or you become aversive. So you have to have a sense of stability. So kindness, for example, kindness can become attachment. Oh, I really want you to be happy. If there is no equanimity, kindness becomes attached love, or it can flip into its opposite, which is ill will. So you need to have equanimity, which is a sense of just being with. So that's one way equanimity relates to kindness. Now, how does kindness relate to equanimity? Equanimity is not cold, is not aloof. Actually, aloofness is what's called a near enemy, which basically, a near enemy is the classical terminology. In our lingo, is something that masquerades, is a feeling that masquerades as the real thing, but it's not the real thing. So aloofness masquerades as equanimity, but it's not equanimity. It's kind of a cold, like, Whereas equanimity actually cares, has metta, has loving kindness as a part of it. You care. That's why you're holding space. That's why you're being with. You're not turning away. You care. That's why you're there. You're holding it with care and warmth. There is a warmth to equanimity. It's just that there's so much stability. Okay? So with that, our exercise in a moment, as we get into groups of three, the prompt is the prompt I usually give, which is, how was this period of practice for you, this guided meditation? And you can say anything. There's no right or wrong. You can say, it was terrible. I fell asleep. There's no wrong answer. Just be authentic. Whatever you want to share with the two, three people you're talking with is just fine. You're not talking for their benefit. You're speaking for your own benefit. You're speaking so that you can reflect more about what really came up for you. What was it like for you? So you're speaking for your own benefit, not to educate or impress them. They're just holding witness. They're serving as mirrors for you. And so the practice of the person who's speaking is just to speak authentically whatever you want to share, and also see if you can have a sense of stability in your body as you speak. This is a practice, it's an exercise, it's a sandbox. If you can have a sense of stability as you're speaking, what does that look like for you? And if you're a person who is usually very animated, challenge yourself. What does it feel like? Again, I'm not saying equanimity means not being animated, but here just, you're in a sandbox. What does it feel like if you're more stable in your body? You feel your body. You keep feeling your body. You keep feeling your body stabilizing. Okay? So try it out. And the people who are listening, again, have a sense of stability, really grounded in your body as much as you can. Feel your body. Feel your belly, your bottom, your hands. And also you're holding a space of equanimity, kind stability. Okay? So there's kindness in it as you're listening to the other person. Okay? Any questions about what we're doing? Okay, so let's divide up in groups of two or three. If you came with someone you know, be in a group with someone you don't know. So yeah, do you meet people? And say your names to each other.
What's
And you can have groups of, let's see, how's this going to work? Let's have two groups of four. Yeah. So before you start, let's form the group. So you're going to have a group of four here, a group of four, a group of three. Okay. So say your names to each other. And remember, this is a practice, really. The prompt is just kind of something to so that you can practice speaking and listening. But it's really about how you're sitting, how you're holding space, how you're being. It's not so much what you're saying, but how you're being, how you're saying it, how you're holding space for the other person. That's where the emphasis is. And keep observing what's happening as you're listening or as you're talking, okay? All right. Please start. Whoever wants to start can start. Or actually, tell you, let's make it easy. Person closest to the altar, that's the person who's going to start speaking. Okay. All right. Go. And you're self-timing yourself. And make sure you have a stability in your body, as if you're in... What does that mean for you, to have stability in your body? And let your eyes be open as you listen to the person. It's an interactive exercise. Okay, go. So we have time for some comments and questions, either about the guided meditation practice or about the interactive practice. If you observed what you observed in the first or what you observed in the second, when you're holding a space of kindness and equanimity in your body for others and for yourself. And we have mics and limited time, so bring it on if something is percolating. Please.
Is that working?
Tap it. Is the light on? It's green, yeah. Maybe the you have to turn up the... I think that's what's happening.
Oh, mic. Oh,
there's
four.
Hello.
That's it. Okay, thanks.
I noticed, kind of coming right out of the meditation, being the first person talking, how hard it is to kind of keep my stability and presence, and how kind of immediately I went back to my normal way of talking and kind of being much more animated. So, yeah, that's something I've always found difficult, is to keep... the practice going while talking.
Yeah, it's challenging. Speaking is harder than listening, as you figured out. So noticing that step function from being completely stable in your, you know, meditation, your eyes closed, to talking interactively and keeping that is really, really, really hard. So what I would say is that it is a practice, and it is possible. It just takes a lot of time. So the stepping stone is holding that stability when you're listening, because listening is easier. You can still be in your body. So as you're listening to me right now, see if you can stay in your body and have a sense of stability in your body. Really. And that's, see, oh yeah, I just noticed that shift. Yeah, you see the shift?
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel you have stability, kind of a sense of equanimity while you're listening to me. You're noticing your internal body state as well as still hearing and processing, right? Yeah, it's so cool. I kind of could shift your body, you know, see the shift in your body and your eyes. So that, what you're experiencing right now, that's the stepping stone to also speaking and feeling it. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. What else? What else did you notice? Yeah, behind you.
Yeah, I guess I noticed a certain pseudo equanimity, like a pseudo acceptance of what was going on, and it was really just trying to bypass some emotions that I didn't want to feel.
I see. Okay. Great. I so appreciate you naming that. That is so important to recognize. Yay. It's so important to recognize. Oh, yeah, I'm okay. But just recognizing that is huge, because when you do recognize that pseudo-equanimity or aloofness, that's another word for it, that's it. That's the one we're talking about. Like, I'm okay. Yeah, I don't care. It's all fine. Whereas actually, ouch, this hurts, and can I be okay with that? Yeah. It's that bird's eye view or perspective from the future. Just, yeah, this is okay. It's ouch. It's the human condition to hurt, to be disappointed, to be sad, to be whatever it is. Like, it's okay. It's okay. Holding it with kindness, because when we don't want to feel it, we've pushed it away, we've ostracized it in a way. Like, it's not a very kind thing to do to our emotions, is it? No.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
You'd mentioned in one of your talks that you were sick for most of your kindergarten year.
Yeah.
How did you get over that? Like, I mean, I know you probably didn't have like the cognitive like awareness that you have now, but was that hard for you? Like,
No. I think children are so resilient. I don't even remember. It was just remember recovering and going back to kindergarten and being so happy I was back. It was just not batting an eye. That's what I remember. Yeah, children are, as adults it's more traumatic, but children, that's what I remember. Yeah, thanks. What else? Any questions or comments? Questions, comments, objections? This side of the room is kind of quiet. Yes, please.
I think I had the similar experience of the pseudo-equanimity where I was trying to be okay with everything that I was saying and everything that was being said, but there's just a lot of emotions that come up. I was kind of feeling a little bit guilty about what I was sharing, and I was feeling, kind of wanting to comfort the people that I was talking to instead of just like letting their emotions be there and letting my emotions about their emotions be okay.
Yeah.
And just trying to say like, I'm cool with it. But it's like, no, like this hurts.
Yeah.
And so I guess it's kind of, can there be equanimity, but also like painful emotion at the same time?
Yes, that's exactly it. That's it. This is great, you guys. This is it. It's being authentic is most important in this practice. So being authentically with whatever is arising, being with it, not falling into it, not trying to push it away, but being with it, making space for it. So absolutely it's possible to have equanimity with sadness. Absolutely. In fact, it's beautiful when you let it just be. You make space for it. You breathe around it. You breathe with it. Ah, there's freedom. There is ease, because it doesn't have to be any different. You don't have to be any. Other people don't have to be any different. You're allowing them to be just as they are. Ah, everyone can exhale. Whereas, have you noticed when, you know, like, how can I fix it? How can I make you happy? It's like everybody, like you're tense, they're tense. Like, they're, it's okay. It's just sadness. it's okay, it's a human, it's what's happening right now. So thank you for that question. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Equanimity is really powerful. It can be expansive and hold so much. So if this is the one thing we take from tonight, I think that's pretty awesome. And we're out of time. So thank you so much for coming here, practicing, aligning your highest intentions with your actions. And may you have peace, may you have ease, may you have equanimity with the coming and going of all things, internally and externally. May all beings be happy, may all beings be free. Thank you. See you next time.